A former coca farmer will be inaugurated next month as Bolivia's new president. Evo Morales has promised to allow more coca farming. That has renewed a debate in Washington since much of the coca crop becomes cocaine. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
At the State Department, the Undersecretary for Political Affairs, Nicholas Burns, is adamant that the war on drugs is succeeding and the U.S. sees no need to change its policy in the wake of Evo Morales' rise to power.
This is a core national security interest. It touches every city in the United States. And so our policy has been successful. And what we hope is that the new government of Evo Morales in Bolivia does not change course, does not try to assert that somehow it's fine to grow coca and fine to sell it to the Americans and Canadians north of their border. It's not fine to do that.
Morales has said his government will step up efforts to interdict drugs, but he wants to preserve the legal market for coca leaves. Morales draws a distinction between the coca leaf and cocaine, as does another critic of the drug war, Sanho Tree of the Institute for Policy Studies.
Trying to compare coca leaf to cocaine is a bit like trying to compare coffee beans to methamphetamines. There's a universe of difference between the two. And we have to respect that indigenous cultures have used and continue to use coca in its traditional form, which is almost impossible to abuse in its natural state by chewing and by consuming in tea.
Even the U.S. Embassy in Bolivia recognizes this, he says. On its website, the embassy advises American travelers to drink coca tea if they start feeling nauseous from altitude sickness. There are some local efforts to keep the legal coca farming in check, according to Catherine Lettaber of the Andean Information Network. She believes that this cooperative approach has been more effective than forced eradication programs. But you may not see that in the data, Lettaber says, because there's so much pressure on officials in coca farming regions of Bolivia to show that the forced eradication is succeeding.
Officials on the ground, anti-narcotics officials in the Chapare, lie to their superiors or misrepresent the situation. And this happens all the way up to Cochabamba, to La Paz, to Washington. So that my feeling is that the people who are actually making the high-level decisions do not have the information that they need to make an educated decision.
A recent report by the Government Accountability Office raises skepticism about the figures the U.S. government uses to show progress in the war on drugs. The investigative arm of Congress said in the report that while the U.S. has poured $6 billion into the drug war in the Andes over the past 5 years, mainly in Colombia, the number of drug users in the U.S. has remained roughly constant. The report is likely to add fuel to the debate over the future of Plan Colombia, that country's counterinsurgency and drug war strategy, which expired in September. The U.S. remains a supporter and a financial backer, according to Nicholas Burns, the number three official at the State Department.
We think Plan Colombia has been a great success, and our administration is asking the Congress to continue funding over the coming several years to help the Colombian people finish the job in fighting the terrorists and fighting the narco traffickers.
A recent report by the Congressional Research Service says that there's been a decrease in violence in Colombia and measurable progress in that country's internal security, but that report says there's been no effect on the price, purity, and availability of cocaine in the U.S. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.